little bit.
I'm here.
Let's not take the 1,000 people with you.
You know. Okay, I've been volunteered to take.
Ari said he couldn't be here.
Oh.
That's part of the. Now when we get out, we used to have a kavu on Tuesday at 3 o'clock. And then it's both twice. It's Monday. And it's 4:30. So
right.
It's probably my fault. Probably not my fault.
All right. So before I forget, the next planned trip is November 5th, which is a Thursday.
Oh.
Yeah. Not so long from now. Yeah. But that's because I'm staying for Shabbos. So I'm staying for Shabbos. I have to figure out a schedule that's going to work.
That's pretty close, though.
It's three weeks and a couple of days.
Oh, it's 3 weeks. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm keeping my track in my calendar. November 5th, you're on. 3 o'clock.
Okay. Very good. So we're going to speak today about Beis Din jurisdiction over matters of Geneva and Gzela, over matters of robbery and theft.
Before we need someone to say Chabura on the week of the 26th. I think that I'm going to say on the 22nd, or if I can guess, we just say on the 22nd. Next week is no Chabura. I mean, no, that is next week, 22nd. I'm speaking a week. I'm speaking 10 days from now, the 22nd. Then we have someone, Talmud, to speak. We hold Chabur of the Tel, week of the 26th. We still say again on the 5th.
Okay.
Just so we need someone. Anybody?
Volunteers?
No one here to volunteer. Okay. I'm sorry for the interruption.
Okay.
Put on the email, whoever's in charge. The
president in charge is not here.
No, you email him that we need a volunteer for the week of the 26th.
Okay.
I'm speaking on the already emailed that I'm speaking on the 22nd.
Okay, yeah. Excellent. Okay, Beis Din jurisdiction over robbery and theft of a Geneva Gzela.
Yeah.
So, since the limud that we've decided upon for this year is Geneva Gzela, I thought that it would be appropriate to speak about the Beis Din jurisdiction, Lamaisa, nowadays, with respect to these matters, and that part of that requires us to define the scope of these matters. So Pesachei Choshen or Bloy makes an interesting comment, which is found elsewhere as well, which is that Geneva Gzela really includes pretty much all Dinei Mamonos that come in front of Beis Din nowadays. He writes this, Bechlal Geneva Gzela Nechlolem Kol Dinei Mamonos Shebein Odom Lachaveiro Bechem Mecha Chumemker. It's the definition of gezel. It's if you cause somebody a monetary loss against the halacha, so that's considered to be gezel. So it's really not just the specific halachos that are between Simen Shin Memches and Simen Shin Samachtes that deal with Geneva or Gzela per se, but really all of the other simanim in Chol Shem Mishpat dealing with civil laws, Ben Yisrael Lachavero, are in the realm of Hilchos Geneva Gezela. And this is derived really from the Gemara Baba Metzia in Parakezu Neshech Adav Samach Alef Anav, which points out that we don't really need a special lav of Lo Sigzal, and we don't need a special lav of Lo Signovu, because we could derive all of the Yisurim of Gezela and Geneva from Ribbis and Onah. They're just like Ribbis and Onah, Shekein Gozlo. Rashi says, Shekein Machasri Mamon. That's the Lashon of Rashi, that they're just like Ribbis and Onah are Aser because you're causing a loss of money. So too, any type of transaction, any type of matter in which one person causes the other one to lose money is included within those Isurim. So why then are there special lavim of Lo Sigzol and Lo Signovu? So we derive from Lo Sigzol Kovish Skar Sochir, that if there's that's another category in Chol Shem Mishpat, if you don't pay a worker on time. And from Lo Signovu, we derive somebody who's gonei b'amanas l'meikat, somebody who steals just to cause somebody to be upset, not because they really want to take the money away. or somebody who steals because they want to do a favor to the other one and pay tashlume kefel, they figure that they'll never accept tzedakah, but this way they'll the person will get a windfall because the gozel, will, the gonev, will have to pay a double portion of payment to the nigzel, and that way the nigzel will be able to become a little bit richer. So that also we derive is also from these psukim. So we see that the whole universe of Geneva Gzela was already created and already derived even without this specific psukim, which expand the universe. But it's really any case in which somebody is mechaser mamon chaveiro shelo kedin, that's included within Geneva and the Gzela. And that's also, he quotes in the name of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, shekol mamon she'enu shelo areze bechlau gezel, that any money that you have that doesn't belong to you, so that's considered to be within gezel. So really, when you look at it that way, all the matters that are presided over by Bezdin fall into this category. So then you can ask, and this is a Dava Chama Meod. This is the basis of all of our jurisprudence, and it is the basis really for making sure that we maintain the world on an even keel. We're in Parshas Noach this week, and we derive in Gemara and Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Chesam and Aleph, Lura Mabalo Nechtam Dinam Elo Mishuma Gezel, that this is what caused the whole world to be destroyed. As the Midrash Medrash Tanchuma says, Ein Lecha Chama B'chola Yisur Meyonesh HaGezel, there's nothing which is more Chama. So this is everything. We derive it from the Pasuk Kimalah Haaretz Chamas, said that the whole world was filled with Chamas, and what's the next thing that we say? V'nini Mashchisam Es Haaretz, and therefore, that's why the world has to be destroyed. So now we understand that the olam is kayim based on ladin ve'alem esvel shalom, that the bezdin doing proper mishpat in order to keep the world going to prevent gezel. So it's a famous question which is asked and which relates to how we're machria dinei mamonos in general, and that is that we have a klal of hamosi mechaveiro la haraya. The Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Mem Vav Mem Beis, says tries to derive it, says mi ba'al dvarim yigash aleihem, seems to be the source, and then goes, no, you don't need the pasuk, it's a svaro. It's a svaro. It's a pnei Yoshua, it says maybe it's only according to Rav, maybe according to Shmo. You do need the pasuk. The pashtus is that the Gemara is saying that it's something which we could derive from svaro, which means that if somebody is muksuk in mamon, so then we say that they get to keep the mamon. And we go, if we have all kinds of different klolim as to what enables us to be machriya in different cases, that we're not going to take money away from somebody. If somebody, we have the case of machlit para b'chomor, for example, where there's a vlad that's born from the para. We don't know when it was born. Was it born before the transaction, or was it born after the transaction? Does it belong to the seller? Does it belong to the purchaser, the one who used to own the para, or the one who bought the para? So the Gemara says that, well, we see what Rishus it was born in. If it was born in the Rishus of one person, so then it's assumed that it's in that person's Rishus. So that person is the Muksuk, and the other person would have to take it away from them. And if other, or if it wasn't in either one's Rishus, if it was in an Agam, it was in a swamp, so we go Basa Mara Kama. So we have all kinds of principles of if we're not sure what to do, so then we're machria one way or another, and if there's a suffix of any sort, so then the muksak is able to maintain the property. So that's a general principle of suffix mamon lekula. So the question is asked, this is born in the Knesset HaGedola. That brings this question in the heading of Kimli. We discuss the laws of Kimli, that a person is also allowed to say, well, even though most shitos, most poskim would say I'm not entitled to something, since there are, say, at least two poskim who say that I'm entitled to something, so that I'm allowed to say Kimli, I'm allowed to keep the object. So we say, Safek Mamon Lekula, the person's allowed to keep the object. But if everything, I'm sorry?
Have to be on the Shokanar blood.
That's a whole question, but those are pratim in the laws of Kimli. But we just said the Kola Tarakula, all of these laws of Dine Mamonus, if a person has something which doesn't belong to them, or where the Machasa Mamon Chaveira really belongs to the Chaver, so then that's an Isser of Gezel. So if everything's an Isser of Gezel, shouldn't we say Suffolk Isser Gezel Chumma? Shouldn't we say that instead of a person relying upon Sfekos and Chazakos and so forth, that if there's any question whatsoever that something doesn't belong to them, then they should give it up? They shouldn't be entitled to maintain it. So this is a famous question that is asked, and that's asked in the Knesset HaGedola by in the name of Rav Yechiel Basan, and this is discussed in some length by Rav Shimon Shkop. The Shari Yosher discusses it, Shari Beis, Perakei. It's discussed also in the Kuntras HaSfekos, Klal Aleph, Siman Vav, And there are a few classical answers that are given to this question. The first answer, which is given by Rav Yechiel Bassan himself, is that either way it's going to end up being a suffix. If you take it from the first person, from whom it's a suffix, whether it belongs to them, and you give it to the second person, so it's going to be a suffix in the hands of the second person as well. But Rav Shimon Shkup points out that answer doesn't work out so perfectly, like in a case where, let's say, one person is a Bari and the other one is a Shema. So we pass like Rav Nachman, that Bari v'Shema, Bari, you know, is not lo'adif lo'hotzi. Bari cannot take away from a Shema. Some person has the Toveya says, I know for sure it's mine. The Nitpa says, I'm not sure it's yours. So the Toveya is not entitled to exact it from the Nitpa. So what if the Nitpa would give it to the Toveya? So would there be an Isser in the hands of the Toveya in such a case? So we say, no, there wouldn't be an Isser in the hands of the Toveya in such a case. So Shimshka points out, because when it comes to Isurim, if there's a robe in a person's favor, or even there's a suffix, but the person himself or herself is 100% sure that they're not committing an Isser, so we say that's considered to be permissible. That's the case in Ksuvas and Dav Chafei Sama Beis, where two Edom who say that a husband died and two Edom say the husband didn't die. So if the woman herself marries one of the Edom who said that the husband died, so the Edom knows that he's telling the truth, and the woman is 100% sure that she can rely on the Edom who said that the husband did die, so then we say she doesn't have to get divorced. It's not considered to be a suffix isser. So he says that it wouldn't be the same kind of suffix. That we, even in a case where if we would change the ownership from the party that currently has the mammon, who's the shema, and transfer it to the ownership of the person who doesn't have the money, who's the bari, who has a claim of bari that it definitely belongs to him, in that case as well, we say suffik mamon lekula. We say that we follow the principles of amosim mechaveru olav haraya, and we're not worried about the suffik isser of gezel, despite the fact that it would not be a suffik isser if it would go to the other party. So we see that that is not that answer doesn't explain everything. It's a similar approach that is brought in. There's a discussion. We recently had Shemitah's Ksafim at the end of the Shemitah year. So there's a similar discussion about why Shemitah's Ksafim doesn't apply to a person who extends a loan, and the loan only becomes due after the end of the Shemitah year. So it's a machlokas, the two lashonas, and the Gemara Makos says that whether the loan becomes canceled, the loan doesn't become canceled. So the Beis Yosef says that we assume that the loan doesn't become canceled, bizman is there, Shemitah is only midrabanan, so we go safek lekula. So we say, well, safek lekula for the Tzobeya, it's not safek lekula for the Nitpa. So what do you mean safek lekula? You're going safek lekuma, then now the Nitpa is going to have to pay. So different answers that are given. So one of the answers that's given is that either way, it's going to end up being somebody's going to end up losing. So we don't say that because in such a case where it's going to be a suffix one way, that the Toveya will pick it up, will collect the money. Maybe he's not entitled to it, but the Nitpa keeps the money, so the Nitpa will end up being over on Gezel. So in that particular case, we say, okay, so we just leave things alone. Had there not been the law of Shemitah's Ksafim, the Toveya would have been able to pick it up, it would have been able to collect the Chov, and now the Toveya is allowed to pick up the Chov as well. So there as well, it brings a similar Svara, that it doesn't make sense when it comes to Suffolk Mammon, to say that because it's Suffolk, we're going to switch the ownership to the other side. So that answer Rav Shimon Shkup rejects, because in the Bari and Shema case, it doesn't really explain why we don't say that the Bari should be Adif Lahotzi. So then he brings the answer of the Urim V'tumim, of only Yonasan Ibershitz. So Yonasan Ibershitz, in his Kali Takvo Kohen, says that the mitzvah of Lo Sigzol is only Gezel Vada Yasu Achman of Lo Gezel Safik. That just like we have Lo Yavo, with respect to a mamzer, we said Lo Yavo mamzer b'kal Hashem. So we derive mamzer vada vada yosu achman of lo mamzer safek. That only a mamzer vada is also. So he says this is not only a klal with respect to mamzer. This is a klal b'chol haTorah kula. Everything, you know, it's true with respect to gzeil as well. So he says, I'm sorry. I don't know. It's a whole the whole shaila as to how you understand, whether you understand suffik deraisa lechumah is midrabanan midraisa. So without getting into that discussion, the Urim V'Tumim says, okay, even without getting into that discussion, he thinks that maybe you don't say it by everything, but at least with respect to gzeil, he says that lo sigzol, there must be some sort of an understanding that lo sigzol means only gezel vadeh and doesn't mean gezel suffik. So therefore, if it's only a Safek Gezel situation, then a person is not sure. Maybe the money belongs to him, maybe the property belongs to him, maybe the property doesn't belong to him, the Bezdin isn't sure one way or another. It's okay to say that if we can't absolutely prove it, that the person is entitled to keep the money, it's not a Safek Gezel, because it's not a, because even if it would be a Safek Gezel, it's not Gezel. Safek Gezel is Heter Gomer. That's what he says, and that's the Kach Halacha Nema Halacha Hamosi Mechaveo Lavarayo, because that's what the Halacha says. That's the meaning of Hamosim Mechaveiro Lavaraya. What do you mean? Hamosim Mechaveiro Lavaraya, the Gemara says, was just a Sabara Bialma. So what do you mean? Kach Halacha Nemra. So many understand the comments of Mincha to the Mincha Schinach. Others understand as well that Shemeshkop writes this. It must be that there's an understanding that it's like some sort of a Halacha Lamoshe Misinai, that the Urim V'Tumim read into Lo Sigzo, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, the Gezel Vada Yasa Rachmana V'Lo Safek Gezel. So Rav Shimon Shkop asks on this, he says, we don't find this anywhere. We don't find there's any such Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. We find that there's a special limud that we have with respect to Mamzer. We find that there's a special limud that we have with respect to Maiser Behema, right? Asivi Vaday Marachmana below Suffolk Asivi. We find it with respect to Suffolk Tumim Bereshus Rabin. We find it with respect to Suffolk Orla. But we don't find, there's a Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, the Suffolk Orla is Multiple Chaslaris, but we don't find that there is any Halacha L'Moshe Misinai that is brought down anywhere with respect to V'lo Sigzo. So he comes up with his own explanation as to how we should understand why it is that we don't say that in every single Safek Mamana situation we should treat it like a Safek Gezel and go L'Chumrah. Really, he got this from the Kuntras HaSfekos, but he says he refines it. Rav Shimon Shkop uses a little bit fancier language. The Kuntras HaSfekos says really what we have to conclude is that what the Torah asserted is only what belongs Mashu Shechaveru Mitzad Hadin. That which, if you go through all the different halachas and you go through all of the different categories of Sabadai and Sopik and Inholkin Mamon Acharov and Cheskos Marakama and this and that and the other thing, so when you come to the conclusion based on all of the klolim that is something it belongs to a particular person mitzad hadin, so then if you took it away from him at that point in time, that would be an Iser Gezel. But if it is not clearly situated halakhically in a person's possession mitzad hadin, so then if somebody else would have the property, would have the mamon, that would not be considered to be an Iser Gezel. And in this way, Rav Shimon Shkop says that the Iser Gezela is different from all of the other mitzvahs of the Torah, because before there is a chiyuv pay the Gezel or to return the Gezel, first that you have to establish what is the chiyuv mishpati. We're done on on a particular mitzvah. Is the person performing the mitzvah? Is the person not performing the mitzvah? But he says here, before you get to the mitzvah, you have to get to the mitzias. Okay, l'mi kanai hadavar? Who to whom is the matter considered to be acquired? Who is considered to be the person who possesses the object? Okay, umi v'mi v'roi pitzar samishpatim. And he says, and this explains why we go after the chazakos and so forth when it comes to makli paravachamor and so forth and so forth. But he says, if you really would have a sapi gezel, like you have somebody, for example, who steals something. Like you have a case where somebody mamash just stole something, and it's a suffix whether they stole from a bachayuva. Let's say that you would hold the gezel akum is mutter. We happen to hold the gezel akum is aser. I think there was a chabura on this that was previously given, right? I think that, or at least there was a scheduled chabura on gezel akum.
I was supposed to say it, but I'll say it next time.
Okay, fine. All right, so I am predicting that the maskana would be the gezel akum is aser.
Correct.
Okay, so we pass the gezel akum is aser. But even if we would have held, let's say we would have held the gezel akum is mutter, and somebody would have been gozel, and it's a suffix whether the person was a yisrael, the person was an akum. So he says in such a case, that's suffix gezel mamash. Suffix gezel mamash, he says, in fact, would be aser. And if, we have cases. We have cases later on in Simon Shin Samechei, or where a person knows for a fact that they stole from somebody, this is tvia. Somebody says, you stole from me. The person says, yeah, I stole from you. It's not sure which one of five people they stole from. So each one takes a shvua that they stole, that the ganav stole from them, and he has to pay all five. So we have that's a knas that we impose. But when we have a suffi gezel mamish, so we do impose knasos. We do impose various chiyuvim, various obligations, and so forth. So it's not that suffi gezel per se is mutter, he claims, but rather that you have to first determine, according to the Torah's HaMishpatim, to whom a particular object belongs. And if there is no Maisig Zela that occurred, so then we follow principles of Chazakah, we follow principles of Hinochin B'mamon Acharov, and that's the Torah's HaMishpatim. So he goes on to say, "Main shayach ladun sheyachush mishiyakev v'mamon tachas yado al pi mishpat haTorah le'isur gezel." So therefore, you don't have to worry about somebody who's keeping money according to the rules of the Torah that they're perpetrating gezel. V'mamon hushalo al pi mishpat haTorah eze isur gezel efshe b'zeh. If according to the mishpat haTorah the money belongs to him, there's no isur gezel by definition. Taha lav shalo sigzo hu lav klali to asa ligzo. Because the law of los igzol is a general rule that you're not allowed to steal something once it has been established to be his, according to what? According to the Mishpatei HaTorah, according to the Torah's HaMishpatim. Bein Ayidei Yerusha, whether the thing belongs to the person through inheritance, Bein Ayidei Ziko Shamekach, through acquisition of a purchase, Umatana, or a gift, for Hefker, Uveinim Zaka, Api Mishpat Chachamim, or if the person simply was Zaka in the item based on Mishpat Chachamim, based on the Hakra of the Chachamim who are deciding the case according to Mishpatei HaTorah. So if you think about it, this is almost the primary jurisdiction of the Beis Din. When the Beis Din hears a case of Dinei Mamonos, according to this explanation of Rav Shimon Shkop, also based on the Kundras HaSfekos, it's really in order to be Koveya the Torah HaMishpatim. Once the Beis Din is Koveya the Torah HaMishpatim, the Beis Din is Koveya who is considered to be the owner of the object. So if the wrong person has the object, that person in that moment in time is going to be guilty of Gezeila. They wouldn't be guilty of Gezeila prior to that moment in time, but it's going to be the Kfiyas of Beis Din if it's a Suffolk type of case. And the Beis Din is Koveya, according to Mishpat Chachamim, Al Pi the Torah HaMishpatim, that the possession of an object or money belongs to somebody. So at that point in time, it's going to be an Issa Gezeila for somebody else to retain the money. So based on that, we can understand, yes.
What about cases where Tfisa helps?
So we're going to get to Tfisa. So based on this, we can understand the... but even that would be part of the Torah HaMishpatim, of when Tfisa is permitted, when Tfisa is not permitted. So now we can understand the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Dav Zayin Amun Aleph. The Gemara there tells the story, has various aphorisms, and each one of the aphorisms is supported by some sort of a pasuk, Maimar Chazal. So as an aphorism, Ho da hava kama da azam ibeidina. So there was an aphorism, somebody leaves the Beis Din. I'm fond of this aphorism, as are many of those who are Dayanim in the Beis Din. Shako glima lizma zema malezo biorta. If you go to Beis Din and you lose your shirt, so what should you do? You should sing a song and dance along. You should be jolly and make a little bit of dance. You don't have a shirt on your back. So why are you so happy? So Amalei Shmuel of Rabbi Yehuda Kroksiv. So Shmuel said to Rabbi Yehuda, yeah, that's a pasuk in the Torah. This aphorism is a pasuk in the Torah. V'gam kol ha'amazeh ha'amakamo yavo v'shalom. That every single person should go to the right place in peace. So Rashi says, what does Rashi say? So Rashi says, Mishinato bezdin taliso lefor la'achir. That if Bezdin grabbed, seized the shirt from somebody's back in order to pay it to the other party, lizmer zemer, the person should sing a song. Why should they sing a song? Ho'io v'din emezdano. That because the Beis Din has determined what is the din emes in this particular case, lo hifsid klum. So you know what? It turns out he didn't really lose anything. Rather, what happened? Ela gezela hotzi miyado. Gezela was taken out of his property. Why? Because that is the primary job of the Beis Din, has jurisdiction over these matters, is to determine what is the Torah HaMishpatim. So then, based on that, we're going to determine what's considered to be gezela. So that's the primary jurisdiction the Beis Din would have in these various matters. But what if you have a case of outright gezela, meaning not a case where you are determining who has the rights to a particular object. This one says, you know, kula shali, and this one says kula shali. But you have an actual claim. Somebody says this person was a ganav. We have specific definitions. The Shulchan Aruch brings in Siman Shin Mem Ches. That's why we have the halakos of geneva gezela. We have specific definitions of mamash, somebody who we we call a ganav, and somebody who we call a gazlan, right? A ganav is somebody, you know, who steals furtively, somebody who steals a mammon from his fellow besaser, does it in a secretive fashion. And gazlan is like by exosa chanis miyana mitzri, right? There's somebody who steals very openly and brazenly befarhesya from his chavah. That's considered to be a case of gazlan. And maybe I have in mind, but potentially in a future chabura, we'll go into greater length about some of the finer distinctions between how we define geneva and how we define gazela, and do we really care whether we define something as geneva or gazela? Shulchan Aruch, there's hilchas geneva, there's hilchas gazela, so it would seem that we care. There must be some sort of a difference. It's a very nice sefer I came across called Shmaitis de Gazela by Malkiya Mandal. He writes a lot of svarim. I don't know if anybody knows who he is. He lives in Eretz Yisrael. He writes a lot of svarim and a host of wrote on Hilchos Shavuos, wrote on Hilchos Zavim, on like a lot of different topics under the sun. He wrote a very nice sefer called Shmaitis de Gezeilim. He has a lot of very good essays on different inyanim of Geneva and Gezeilim. So he has a Hagdama for 40 pages. He talks about all of the distinctions between Geneva and Gezeilim. Well, how do we define which is which and what is what? Okay, but let's say that somebody comes to Beis Din and they actually make this claim. Somebody was going, hey, mama, and they snuck into my home in the middle of the night and they stole some money. Somebody was gozel, somebody steal, somebody see something from out of my hands. It was an armed robbery. It was a mamash gezela. So does Beis Din have jurisdiction over those very explicit cases of geneva gezela? What would the question be? The question would be, do we say shlichusayu? It's a general rule. The Gemara in Baba Kama Daf Pei Dalet says that Beis Din's jurisdiction when it comes to monetary matters extends to which types of cases? Cases which are the issa that are dvarim shavashashchiyach, things that are common, the isbei chiso and kiss, and which have a loss of money to them. So there are different sugyos that sort of spell out the jurisdiction of Beis Din, but they seem to go in different directions. There's the sugya at the beginning of Sanhedrin, which seems to indicate that the main area where Beis Din doesn't need to have mumchin, because nowadays we don't have mumchin, we don't have Beis Din who have the real smicha Moshe Rabbeinu, so we don't have real mumchin. So we know that gezela requires mumchin because the case of that's spoken about, where the Torah says that you need mumchin. It says v'nikra balabai sal haluhim lashon chol. That it's talking about a shomer, a chinam, skofi, a bigadon. So that's a case of gzela. And there it says the word Elokim is written three times. So we know that you require three mumchen to hear the case. And the Gemara there says, and the same would be true about chavolos as well, because, you know, mali chova begufa, mali chova b'mamono. And then the Gemara goes on to say, what about Hodos V'Halvos? And the Gemara says, well, Hodos V'Halvos, this is what the yeshiva is learning this year, right? Sanhedrin. So the Gemara says, well, Hodos V'Halvos, we don't there we make a little bit Hadyoto Shlotino Dels with Neiloban. Doesn't say specifically because the reason of Shlichus Sai Barashi and Gittin and Daf Peches Amid Beis says that explicitly that what the Gemara means is that we hear cases of Hodos V'Halvos even in a case of Shlichus Sayu. The Gemara there in Gittin indicates that would be true of Hodos V'Halvos, but it's not true of Gezelos V'Chavolos. Not true of Gezelos V'Chavolos. There we wouldn't necessarily have a Shlichus Sayu, right? Because there it's not the Milsa, the Shlicha, the Isbe, Chiso, and Kis. So it sounds a little bit like gezelos are not included within what would be within the Beis Din jurisdiction, and yet the Torah writes that we're done gezelos, but not knossos and not chavolos. So where do we get this idea that gezelos could be subject to the Beis Din jurisdiction? So the Tzos and the Urim V'Tumim has something similar, says that there were really like multiple takanos, that when there was Batei Din that was still in Eretz Yisrael, so there was only a takan of Shlichus Sayu when it came to Hodos V'Halvos, because they were worried that people wouldn't be willing to borrow money unless there was like a Bezdin that was directly available, and they didn't want to have to go to where there were mumchen, and otherwise people wouldn't have loaned money, and therefore we wanted to make sure that people would extend loans knowing that they can go in front of a Bezdin of Hedyotas. But then, at a certain point, and when it came to Gezelos, they didn't need to make a special takana, because as long as a Nigzol, somebody who had been a victim of theft, could threaten to go to Eretz Yisrael in front of mumchen, so that would discourage a potential gazlan from stealing money, and therefore that was good enough. But when it came to the point in which there were no longer Bati Din available in Eretz Yisrael, and he says this is really what the sugya of Baba Kama is addressing, when it came to the point in which there were no longer Bati Din available in Eretz Yisrael, so then they had to be misakin that Bati Din should be able to hear Gezelos as well, Shalotin Odelos B'Pnei Osei Avla, so that the people who would be committing acts of oppression and injustice would be able to be brought to justice. So the only way to bring them to justice would be if you had hedyotas, because there were no mumchen available anywhere. You remember, Torah says something a little bit similar, except he says that that's the difference as to whether shlichusaya would be applied even within Eretz Yisrael during a time in which there were mumchen, and whether it would only be applied outside of Eretz Yisrael with Gzelos, it would only be only outside of Eretz Yisrael with Hedos Ravaz, even within Eretz Yisrael. But it's the same basic idea that there were two different stages of the takanos, and by the time everything was all said and done, there was a jurisdiction even with respect to Gzelos. Now, the Daf Moshe, the Ramah, in the Daf Moshe, brings in the Muki Yosef and Berakach Hovel, who says, well, maybe, you know, after all, the Gemara in Gittin seems to say explicitly the Gzelos are not included, so maybe when do we say the Gzelos are included, that would be Gzelos to Shchichi. What's a Gzelos to Shchichi? Like a shomer, like a watchman who sheshach yadav pikadon, who messes around with his deposit. Or kafalagami, or denies having the deposit. A lo Gzelos mamish, but you have like mamish, like the case of Bnei Yob and Yehoyada, which is described in Shmuel, by Gzelos achanis miyad Mitzri, where somebody is stealing a spear from somebody's hands, was armed robbery or something like that. So then we would know we wouldn't apply that. So that's considered to be so low shchiach that even Bezdin would not have jurisdiction over such matters unless the gzela is still around. If the gzela is around, so then Bezdin would have jurisdiction over such matters. Why would that be if the gzela is around that it would make a difference? Because that's a separate. For that, you don't need mumchen. That's a hafisha meisura. That's somebody every single moment. Or the Yitzchak Elchanan has this in the Nachal Yitzchak. Every single moment in which the gzela is in the person's possession, it's as if they're considered they're committing an issur gzela at every single moment of time. It's like we are in Kelayim. That every single moment, it's like a separate commission of the issur gzela, and therefore anybody is allowed to intervene, like the Gemara in Baba Kama and Chof Chesam and Aleph has with respect to an Eved who's married to a Shifra, who's now he's a Ben Chorin, so anybody can intervene in order to separate the Shifra away from the Eved. So for that, you don't need Mumchin per se. So if the gzela is Kayim, so for sure you don't need Mumchin. But if the gzela is not Kayim, so then you would require Mumchin. So in the Shulchan Aruch itself, and this is in Siman Aleph of Choshen Mishpah, so Shulchan Aruch seems to indicate clearly that when it comes to Geneva is Baklal Shlichusaya. That's not such an unusual thing. To steal something furtively is more common than stealing something out in the open. So that only Tashlume Kefil. Only Tashlume Kefil is excluded because that's not the Milsa Yishbe Chisar and Kis. Kepel is a knas. That's an extra payment of an extra amount of principal that's paid as a knas. And so to tashlumi dal behe, if you steal somebody's shur, you steal somebody's set, so you don't pay dal behe. All of those things are excluded. That's all included in Siman Aleph in terms of what's excluded. But clearly, Gneva itself is not excluded. What about that's in Sif Aleph or Siman Aleph? What about Gzela? So in Sif Gimel of the Shulchan Aruch says magmi menu a keren bilvad. That when it comes to Gzela, we only collect the keren. So the keren is collected. So it's assumed, it seems not like the Nemuke Yosef. The Bach goes even further. The Bach says that means even the Shevach Lifnei Yush, we wouldn't collect. There's a whole dispute that I think it's in Siman Shin Samach Dalet. Later on, there's a dispute that's brought in the Shulchan Aruch, Machok Machlokis Machab and Ramah, about whether the Gazlan is allowed to maintain the Shevach that happens Lifnei Yush. or not. So let's say that the Geislin stole a pregnant animal, now the animal gave birth. So is the Geislin allowed to keep the children, or does the Geislin, if it happened with Niyush, that the Behema gave birth? So the Mechaber says, no, the Geislin doesn't get to keep that. And the Ramah says, Yeshomim, the Geislin does get to keep that. So if you would assume that the Geislin doesn't get to keep that, so Bizmanazeh, Shlichusaya would not apply to the Shebach. That would also be considered to be something above and beyond the Keren. The Shach says, no, that's not a knas. The only thing, when we say the Bezdin doesn't have full-fledged jurisdiction, Bezdin doesn't have full-fledged jurisdiction in the realm of knas. But this is the Shebach, that to the extent that the Geislin would be obligated under normal circumstances to reimburse or to pay up not only the Keren, but also pay up the Shebach, so that would be true Bizmanazeh as well. I think that the Halacha Stuma is like the Shach when it comes to this inyan. Yeah, but there are certain knassos that we say. If there's a knass which is imposed by chachamim, so we say that type of knass, Bezdin does have the right to collect even bizmanazeh. But this type of knass, not so. Because if it's anything which is miyikar din, it has to be covered either by shlichusay or not be covered by shlichusay. And that's what it's based upon, that there's no chisar and kiss. Well, here, with respect to the Shebach, right, there's no chisar and kiss, but the Shach says, Afal Pikein, he says that this, he thinks, is included within the item itself. The item itself received this Shebach. So the Shach thinks that's something which was not excluded. He thinks only the Knossos. He says only the Knossos. When we say that we have this exclusion for also the Leisbech Chisaron Kis, he thinks it's only applying to the Knossos when it comes to Gezela. Yes, in Achinami. So the Ramah writes, similarly to what he wrote in the Darchi Moshe, that only Gzelos, we had a case like this a little while ago. I won't go into all of the details. We had a case where it wasn't so much a question of Shebach. It was a question, it actually ran to a Ribbis issue, where this comes up a lot, where a tenant gives a landlord a security deposit. And then at the end of the lease, the landlord is supposed to give back the security deposit. And the landlord is supposed to invest the security deposit in a bank and pay it back with interest. There's a comment in the Chelkas Binyamin, that long sif, where is it, Kuf Samach Tes, whatever, in Yerodea, where he says that if you're told, I'm sorry?
The ones that are together.
Yeah, the ones that are together. So where if somebody, one Jew gives to another Jew some money, says, I want you to invest this with an Akum who's going to pay interest on my behalf, okay, but you're just my shliach. You're just taking the money, you're supposed to give it to him, and then he's going to pay me interest. That's okay. But if you say, well, you can, if Reuven says to Shimon, you could either give it to the Akum, or you can decide to keep it yourself as long as you pay interest. So that's not okay. So what happens with a security deposit? A security deposit, l'chayra, it's Reuven saying to Shimon, you don't have the right to keep it for yourself. You got to give it to Levi. You're not Levi. You got to give it to Nicholas and to the non-Jew who's going to put it in their bank. And then they're going to generate money, and then the money will go back to me, right? At the end of the lease term. So l'chayra, that should be okay. So what happens when Shimon, instead of depositing it in the bank like he was supposed to, he wasn't given the rishus to commingle it with his own funds. What if he does commingle it with his own funds? So does he have to pay interest at the end? So this might be relevant to this chakira. Maybe that's considered to be an act of stealing. You say that's considered to be an act of stealing. And then if he pays back afterwards what the money made in the bank, it's not so much a repayment of interest, but maybe he's repaying the theft. But maybe that's considered to be akin to Shebach. That's like a Shebach that occurred to the money, as opposed to the general rule of Mishalman Kei Kashas Zela. So we had a case where we had to consider those issues. It came out, they had an afkamina of about $10, because there was a security deposit of like $1,300 that the person kept for 3 years or something based on contemporary interest rates. It turned out, so they would have earned about $10 of interest over the 3-year period. Okay, it wasn't an afkamina of a lot of money. It was an interesting chakiva nonetheless. There's a Gemara in Gittin, I think Nun Hayim base, that talks about a similar case and says Shlo Yehi Chote Nisker. So that's maybe such a case you would take that into account. So that's relevant in terms of Bezdin jurisdiction of Gzeilus and Gnevus cases nowadays. So we assume generally like the Shach and not like the Bach. So the Ramah writes that based on the Dachim, but he wrote in the Dachim Moshe, in Mukhi Yosef, that maybe only Gzeil, that only Gzeilos to Shchichi, but not Gzeil Mamish, unless the Gzeil is Kayemis, as we explained before. And the Sma quotes Tosfos as saying, well, maybe the Mechaber agrees that we don't cover all Gzeilos, because after all, what the Gemara in Gittin says that certain Gzeilos are excluded from Bezdin jurisdiction. So the Sma says, you know what's excluded from Bezdin jurisdiction? Gzeilos Ayyadei Chavolos. If it's a gzeila, ayyadei chaval, that's not considered to be shchiach. A chaval alone, okay, so we'll let you collect sheves reboy, the Shulchan Aruch indicates. But if it's, but if you have a combination of a gzeila together with a chavala, okay, so that's what we're going to exclude according to the Mechaber, but everything else is going to be included. And the Shach's opinion is that the Mechaber includes everything, even Gzeilos Ayyadei Chavolos. So let me ask you this question. If even Gzeilos Ayyadei Chavolos are included, what was excluded? From the Gemara in Gittin that says, lo Gzeilos v'chavolos. We say Gzeilos v'chavolos are excluded from Shlichus Ayyadei. So what are we excluding? So Shach understands, what are we excluding? We're excluding Kefil. That means we're excluding Kefil. The Knossos are excluded, that you wouldn't collect Kefil, you wouldn't collect Dalet Behei. That's nice. If you're a ganav, you might have to pay kefil and dalet behei. The one major difference between being a ganav and a gazlan is this, that a ganav pays kefil and dalet behei, and a gazlan doesn't. So what do you mean they're excluding kefil and dalet behei? So it's hard to come up with a good answer to that question, but I saw that some wanted to say that the answer to that question is that if you hold, like the Rambam, that a list of Mizuyan is a gazlan, but he has the din of a ganav, that he pays kefil, so maybe that's what's being excluded by the Gemara in Gittin. It says, yeah, gzeilos are excluded. That means if you have a type of gazlan who's a list of Mizuyan, it would otherwise have to pay kefil, so then the kefil doesn't get collected by Bezdin Bezman Hazeh. So the Aruch HaShulchan says that here we paskin not like the Rama, we paskin like the Mechaber, because that's all types of gzeila, at least in terms of the actual amount, when we're not dealing with knossos, with the actual amount. So I'm going to mention one other possibility of what gzeilos might mean in a little bit. But with the actual amount that is the subject of the gzeila, so that can be collected, that is subject to Bezdin jurisdiction, Bizman Hazeh, says Shekach Hikriyu Gedolei Achronim. He says this is the determination of the Gedolei Achronim, Tim Lo Kein, Tismalei Ha'aretz Chamas. Because if not, then you're going to have absolute chaos and larceny breaking out throughout the land. And in order to prevent larceny from breaking out throughout the land, we have to be able to have jurisdiction over these matters.
So
okay.
Let's make their mill sorry.
No, the Lashon of the Aruch HaShulchan sounds like a little bit of Migdor Milsa, but the Shach assumes that this is Pshat in all the Gemaras, is that Gzeila, the actual Keren of the Gzeila and the Gneva, is included within Dvar Meshivah Sheshchiach, Yesh Bem Chisal and Kis, and therefore that's subject to Bezdin jurisdiction. But what about the Shulchan Aruch says later in Siman Aleph? Shulchan Aruch later in Siman Aleph says that with respect to all of the different items that can't be collected bizman hazeh, let's say you have an adam mischovel ba'adam, so you can't collect the actual nezek, but Bezdin gets up and the menadin also ad shi'ifais es ba'aldino. But Bezdin gets up and it declares a chayrim on the perpetrator of the crime to say, listen, we can't collect, but we're going to put you in chayrim until you pay an equivalent amount to the person whom you harmed. So do we say the same thing with respect to the additional amounts, to the kefil, dalet behei, to all of these amounts? Do we say menadin oso ad shi'ifaiso? So the Sma quotes the Yerushan. Yerushan says, why not? Just like this is applicable to all the other amounts that, according to Torah law, a person would be entitled to, we would say the same thing with respect to kefil and with respect to dalet behei and all of those things. And the Sma disagrees. The Sma says, no, the nidoy is in order to discourage wrongdoers. And as long as the person knows that according to the strict letter of the law, the person's not going to collect from them, but the offended party will be able to collect from them based on a nidoy that will be imposed upon them, so that will deter them from committing the crime and committing the chavala or whatever it happens to be in the first place. But here, the fact that the gazlan or a ganav would have to pay, the gazela would have to pay the ganeva, that would be a sufficient deterrent. We don't need to have an additional deterrent to put them in chayrim until they pay kefil with dalet behei. So we generally assume like this month, that we would not put somebody in nidoy. But what about tfisa? What if there's a nignav, if there's somebody who's a victim of a theft, and now he wants to collect the kapel on his own? He wants to collect the dal behe on his own. Say mishpat Torah, right? These are the mishpatim, the Torah samishpatim, entitles me to kapel, entitles me to dal behe, so I'll go and collect it myself. So here there's a Ramah in Simon Shin Mam Mem Ches. So the Ramah says in Simon Shin Mem Ches, in Sif Dalet, he says, Emas Ganav Chaya Bekefel Ve'abava Chamisha Ayem Bifnim. Says, when a Ganav is going to be Chaya Bekefel Ve'abava Chamisha, you have to do your research. Ulokasan Machaber Hazel Fishu Knas. But the Mechaber didn't write this. When the Mechaber is talking about the Dinei Geneva, why not? Because it's a Kenas, Ve'eno Noeg Inna, and therefore it's not Noeg anymore. But then he adds a few words. He says, Mio Yesh Nafkusim Tapas. But there's an Afkamina if the Nignav, if the victim, will go and into the Ganav's property and collect the payment for Kefil and Dal Behe on his own. So the Sma points out that the Mechaber could have thought of that too. The Mechaber also could have thought about that possible ramification that there would be an Afka Mina Im Tapa. So why didn't the Mechaber mention anything about Kefil and Dal Vehe and Hilchos Geneva? So the Sma suggests that maybe the Mechaber and Rama argue in the Machlokis between the Rama and the Rosh. The Rama is of the opinion that there is no right of Tfisa with respect to anything which is more than the amount of the Nezik itself. So here, the amount of the Nezik is the Geneva of the Gezel itself. Kefil Adal Behe is more than the amount of the Nezik. So therefore, there's no right to be Topes according to the Ramah. He's assuming the Mechaber Paskins like the Ramah. And the Rosh, and the Ramah, who says that there's an Afkamin in terms of Tfisa, is Paskining according to the Rosh. So the Shach over here says, well, take a look at what the Sma says in Sif Katan Yud Ches. Why does the Shach tell you, take a look at what the Sma says in Sif Katan Yud Ches in Simon Aleph? Because in Simon Aleph of Chol Shem Mishpan, in Sif Katan Yud Ches, the Sma, who there is commenting on the Mechaber, who talks about the right of Tfisa. So when somebody's not entitled to something, Al Pishli Chusayu, and the Mechaber says, yes, but they can be Tofes, the Sma says, yeah, that includes Kefil and Dal Behe. So the Sma appears to be a contradiction. Here, the Sma seems to be saying that the Mechaber is following the Shita Sarama, that there wouldn't be any right of Tfisa. And there, in Siman Aleph, the Sma seems to be assuming that according to the Mechaber, there would be a right of Tfisa by the Nigsal, the Nignav, with respect to Knossos amounts, for example, Kapol or Dalad Behe. So how do you reconcile that? I don't know. How do you reconcile that? One possibility, although it's very difficult to say this, one possibility is that maybe there would be a machlokis as follows. Yeah, in Achinami, according to the Mechaber, you could be Tofes, but the Ganav would be able to be Tofes it right back. That's a machlokis between the Yam Shel Shlomo and maybe the Rosh. Not clear. I don't think the Rosh says so be favorish. It's read into the Rosh. So it reads it into the Rosh. So the Yam Shel Shlomo says that once the Nignav collects this amount, then it's considered to be Nasim Mamon Mamash when he started like Mized Din Knas. Then it's considered to be his Mamon Mamash. Once he collects the capel of Dal Vehe on his own, then it's considered to belong to him, and then the Ganav wouldn't be allowed to snatch it from him afterwards. However, others, maybe the Rosh, not the same Rosh we were talking about, maybe the Rosh, maybe others disagree with the Yam Shel Shlomo. So maybe that's the Machlokas. Maybe according to the Ramah, Tfisa works, and Tfisa works to the degree that we would say that once the Nigzal grabs these extra amounts, once the Nignav grabs these extra amounts, then he would be entitled to it Medina, so that the Ganav would no longer be able to be Topes it back. According to the Mechaber, maybe in Achinami, the Sma is saying that it could be Tfisa, but the Gonev would be able to snatch it back. The reason I say it's not Mechwach is because it's really not Mechwach. The Mechaber doesn't say anything one way or another. And also, if you attribute both the Shitas to the Rosh, we know for a fact that the Rosh said that there is a right of Tfisa with respect to Kefil Adal Behe. It would be difficult to say that in one respect the Mechaber would pass like the Rosh, but in the other respect the Mechaber would... So the Rosh is of the opinion that you get to grab it back, right? So the Rosh is of the opinion, and the Yam Shel Shlomo is of the opinion that Nasim Mamono Mamish Vinistalik Mized Din Knas. So what we'd be saying? We'd be saying that, no, maybe it could work out. So maybe according to the Mechaber, it works like this, that according to the Mechaber, really there is no, the Machab is saying there's a right of tefisa. There's a right of tefisa, but it's not a complete right of tefisa, that the person would be able to grab it back. And the Ramah is saying there's a right of tefisa. We're saying within the Ramah, that the Ramah would be holding half like the Rosh and half like the Yamshel Shlomo. Okay, so that's the question. I don't know. Now, what about the Bilasis Yidei Shemayim? What about, let's say that the person says that the Nignav says, I want to be, the Ganav says, I want to be Yotzei Yidei Shemayim. So do we say that the Ganav has an obligation when he's doing tshuva that he has to pay kapel or dala behes? The Tzo says no. The Tzo says that there is no such obligation because when it comes to knasos, we have a pasuk that says what? Asher yashiyun elokim. That only when the bezdin is mechayev the person to pay the knas, or to pay the is it considered to be a chiyav al pidim? But otherwise, there's no chiyav knas ad chiyav suk bezdin. So therefore, the Ksos is of the opinion that there is no obligation latzis yidei shemayim, and the Aruch HaShulchan says no. The Aruch HaShulchan says that in all of these cases there is an obligation to be yotzei yidei shemayim. So the nigna, so the ganav, if he knows that normally there would have been a chiyuv kefel, the ganav would be obligated to pay a chiyuv kefel, despite the fact that the bezin is not mechayev him to pay kefel. If he wants to be yotzei yidei shemayim, he would have to pay kefel. So that's a machlokus between the Ksos and the Aruch HaShulchan and others. Maybe it's taller in this neguda. Maybe it's taller on the neguda of Shimashkop. If you say that there's no Torah Samishpatim, unless the bezin is actually ruled on this matter, so then maybe there would be no obligation for the person to be yotzei yidei shemayim, because of the fact that you need ashir yashiyun elokim, you don't have ashir yashiyun elokim, so there's no need to be yotzei yidei shemayim to pay the extra amount. But
this is a special din in knasos.
I'm sorry.
I know there's a special din in knasos.
Right, it's a special din in knasos. No, but only with respect to knasos. It's with respect to the kefil and the dalabay. So that with respect to this, since it says Ashir Yashun Alukim, since that hasn't been triggered, so according to Torah Samishpatim, there's nothing to speak about. So therefore, you wouldn't have to pay. So that's a possible explanation.
Does that mean
yes.
Come back one step to the yeah. Is it possible to say that you would need Bezdin to paskin on the knas to say that in principle there would be an idea of kefil and dal behei, but we don't have the authority to really extract that from the other person. But once they say that, now there's an afkamina of tevisa. There's the Machaber saying that there's no.
If you assume, like the Sma writes in Simon Shin Mem Ches, that the Mechaber says you don't have a right to Tfisa altogether, so works that very well, right? Works it very well. If you say that there's no Chiyav that even goes into motion with respect to the class because we don't have Bezdin Bizman Azeh, so we would understand why you couldn't even have Tfisa altogether.
Right,
so then that's the steer. So I don't have such an. I gave you a possible yishuv in the Sma, but I don't know what the yishuv would be in the Sma. It's very hard.
Is he saying that there is an idea that Bezdin could paskin even though they were extracted?
I don't know. There's a separate machlokus. What if the parties themselves say that we want Bezdin to decide to paskin on a matter of knas, even though Bezdin doesn't have jurisdiction? We're going to give them jurisdiction with respect to matters of knas. So that's a machlokus achronim as to whether the parties have the right to contract along those lines.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's the question as to whether they can confer that jurisdiction upon Bezdin. That's a machlokus. Yeah.
But Avidinish Dina Denafshe play a role here with
Knas? Yeah, well, it plays a role with respect to Tfisa. So the assumption is that if we hold Avidinish, the Pashupshat, like the Ramah, is that if we assume Avidinish Din Lenafshe, so that doesn't require Mumkin. So Avidinish Din Lenafshe is a separate category. So that category is a person taking the law into their own hands. That's separate from the Ganav's obligation of Lotzei Sidei Shemayim. He could have no obligation to be Lotzei Sidei Shemayim, but there could still be a separate inyan of Avidinish Din Lenafshe, since the Torah says, oh, there's such a thing as Kepel Dalabay. So from the perspective of the wrong party, so they don't need Mumkin for that. They don't need Asher Yashun Elokim. They could do that on their own. That would be the svar as to why you would say that they would have the right to do it.
That's on the carrot, though. Yeah. That's on the carrot, not on the
kefil. No, you would. That would be the machlokus as to whether it would apply to the kefil as well. That would be the machlokus between the Ramah and the Rosh. The Rosh would say it applies to the kefil as well. The Avinash Dinah Lenafshe would apply to the kefil as well.
But if we say they need Bezdin for Paskin in order to be Chayav, does that mean that
might only be vis-a-vis the Gazlan? vis-a-vis the ganav. It would only be when based in Paskins. Vis-a-vis the nigzol, the nignav. So he has the right of to exercise avir nishtin lanafshe. So is there any, I keep on going back and forth between nigzol and nignav, because technically speaking, kefil only applies to the nignav. So is there any kind of a knas that applies to the nigzol as well? So there is. There's chomish, right? Does chomish apply nowadays? There's such a thing, right? We speak about if somebody was gozel, they stole money. It could be if they're gonei money too. I mean, we talk about this in the context of Ashem Gzelos, right? So we call it Ashem Gzelos, but the truth is that the din is applicable to anyone who takes money. It could be money that you got through stealing, through gzela, through gneva, through a pikadon that you denied having. But if a person took money, right, and then they took a shvua, then they took a shvua. It's a question with respect to Moda Biknas Potter. So that's only if they have a hoda in front of Bezdin. But with respect to that's what the Achronim say. But with respect to Chomesh, the Shvua there could be even Chutz LeBezdin. So it could be even nowadays. So if a person steals money and they take a Shvua and then they hold it and then they want to do tshuva, so is there such a thing as paying Chomesh Bizman Hazeh? So the Sma here in Simen Shin Mem Ches says that there's no that the laws of Chomish were not written down over here, and the reason why the laws of Chomish were not written down were because it's not relevant. It's not relevant because it's not Shayach Bizman Hazeh to speak about Chomish. And the Rosh has this in Perek Tes, Simen Chof Dalid. The Rosh says that the laws of Chomish and Ashem. What happens to somebody who steals money? They take a shvua that they don't have it, and then they're modeh, so they have to pay the gezel. They have to bring a korban Ashem, and they have to pay a Chomish. So the Rosh writes that we don't have the Chomish Bizman Hazeh, and we don't have the Korban Ashem Bizman Hazeh. So the Gemara talks about, the Rosh says that the one part of the halacha of such a person that would be relevant Bizman Hazeh would be as follows. That if you have somebody, and this is in Shin Samech Zion, I think, that if you have somebody who steals money and they swear that they don't have it, even Bizman Hazeh, and then they're modeh, so there's a special halacha that they have to return the gezela, even lamadai, even if the nigzal lives in Siberia or lives in Damascus, wherever the nigzal happens to live, they have to go all over the world in order to return the object to the nigzal. Otherwise, they could say, okay, your gezela is available whenever you want to pick it up. But if they satisfied all of these special criteria, that they were gozo nishba v'umodeh, Vahoda, so then they would have, so that aspect it does have to be fulfilled. But the Rosh says that in terms of paying a Chomesh, the paying a Chomesh does not need to be fulfilled. So if you look in the halachos here, I'm sorry, not in Sin Shin Mem Ches, in Shin Samach Zayin, so the Sma says there, when these halachos are being discussed, that the Chomesh, the payment of the Chomesh is not discussed because of the fact that that's not Nogei Bizman Hazeh. That seems to be based upon the Rosh. The question is, why is the Chomesh not Nogei Bizman Hazeh? Why don't we say that at the very least, if the person wants to be Yotze Yedei Shemayim, this is a different din than Kefel and Dalet Vehei. Why don't we say that if the person wants to be Yotze Yedei Shemayim, this is a din of a penitent thief, the case of paying Chomesh. This is somebody who is penitent. It's a special din that he would get the ability to achieve a penance, so to speak, by paying this amount. So why don't we say that he'll have the amount to pay? This is Sifur Katan Yud Aleph and Simen Shin Samach Zayin. So he says, that because the din of Chomesh is not Noeg Bizman Hazeh. So the Minchas Chinuch has an essay on this in Mitzvah Kof Chof Tes, and the Mitzvah Minchas Chinuch insists that Chomesh should be Shayach Bizman Hazeh. says, if you look in the Maharshal in the Yom Shel Shlomo, says it's not relevant nowadays because we don't have a Korban Asham, and the Chumash is called Asham. He says, it's not true. He says, I would respect what the Maharshal says, but it's not true. You look in the Gemara. The Gemara refers to the Chumash as Mamon. Yeah, let's say that a person stole and then he dies, and now the Yorshin wanted to do repentance on behalf of the father. So they can't bring the Korban Hashem because they didn't commit the theft, but they still pay the Chomish. So we see that it's not related to the Korban Hashem per se. So the Minchas Chinuch says, if you ask my opinion, I think that if you had somebody who was in this type of situation, at least it's true that there's no shlichusayu because it's more than the amount of the gzeila itself. However, with respect to somebody who's balat seisidei shemayim, in order to be balat seisidei shemayim, Minchas Chinuch says, I think that the person should pay the chomish. But he says, but ladaiti nega kol poskim. He says, I'm against everybody else. Everyone else is against me. I don't have anybody to support me on this. So I guess I'll be mevato maidas for everybody else. And I won't insist. You can argue that even the Korban Hashem is relevant nowadays. If you assume like the famous sheet of the Kapos Tmaran, quoting the Kafta Referach in Masech HaSukkah, says that whenever a person commits a chatas, they should set aside some money to bring when the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, like Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha in Masech HaShabbos. So he says that really the Korban Hashem would be relevant. It's just we happen not to have a Beis HaMikdash. We happen not to have Kohanim who could preside over the bringing of the Korban. But if everything was in place, you would be able to bring the Korban Hashem. So why can't you bring the chatas? And the same thing is said by Rabbi Yeshua Mikutna. Yeshua Mikutna says this in the Yeshua Sisal, Aleph Sif Gimel, says the same thing, that you should be able to, that nowadays you really should bring the Chomish. The Netziv seems to say it in the Shiltos, in his commentary in the Shiltos, because the Shiltos talks about the Dinim of Chomish, and the Shiltos only talks about things that are Nogei B'Zman Hazeh. So he says it must be that the Shiltos holds the Chomish is even Nogei B'Zman Hazeh. But the Abnei Nezer, in Choshen Mishpat, Simon Peidalid, says that it can't be, because if you look at the Rosh, isn't only talking about the things that you be chayav to do medina. The Rosh is talking about things that you chayav to do latzei sidei shemayim. The whole idea that a penitent thief has to go all the way to Madai in order to return the theft, that's not mi'ikar adin. That's latzei sidei shemayim because of the fact that he was penitent. So if the Rosh felt that the Chomish was relevant to somebody who's bal latzei sidei shemayim, the whole thing is bal latzei sidei shemayim. We should have included the Chomish. Rather, we see that whenever there's no Korban Hashem in the picture. If there's Korban Hashem is in the picture and for some technical reason you can't bring it because the original Gazlan died, okay, so still we say that the Chomish effectuates a chatzi kapara. But if there's no Korban Hashem in the picture, so then there's nothing to talk about, says the Abnei Nezer, you don't have to bring a Chomish altogether. Others give a different explanation that there's no rush, that eventually the Beis HaMikdash gets rebuilt, so you bring the kapara at that time, that there's no rush to bring the Chomish. Since you can't have a complete kapara, so there's no rush in doing a half a kapara, whatever the explanation is, generally assume that you don't have to bring the Chomish, but there's at least more of a machlokis about latzei sidei shemayim with respect to the Chomish than there is with respect to Kefil and Dalet Behei. So we've established so far, number one, that pretty much all cases that come in front of Bezdin is given the jurisdiction to decide to be Magdir. What's considered to be according to the Mishpat HaTorah, what's considered to be according to the Torah HaMishpatim, so that we can be Magdir exactly what's considered to be Gezel, what's not considered to be Gezel. We've established that with respect to actual cases of claims of Geneva and Gezela, that that there's a little bit of a machlokus about Gezela with respect to Geneva, for sure. When it comes to the Keren itself, Bezdin has jurisdiction. Bezdin doesn't have jurisdiction with respect to Kepa, with respect to Dalet Behei. Machlokus Bach and Shach with respect to Shevach Lipnei Yush. And with respect to Gezela, there's a machlokus between the Machab and the Ramah. And it seems that as the Aruch HaShulchan puts it, the Gedolei Achronim and Makriya, that in all cases of Gezela, not just Gezela's Tashkiach like the Ramah writes, but in all cases of Gezela, Bezdin would have jurisdiction. And with respect to being Tofes, we said that with respect to Nidoy, we said there that whether we're Menadin, Tokepel, and Dal, Behe, and Knossos, or Pain, there we said that's a machlokus between the Sman, the Ir Shushar, we generally going to assume like the Sma that we're not minadeh on anything more than the actual amount. With respect to Tfisa, we said that's a machlokas between the Rama and the Rosh. Pashtus is that we paskin like the Rosh that Tfisa would work with respect to Karen, but the Sma, at least in Simon, with respect to the Kapil and the Dalabe, the Smas seems to say that he thinks it might be a machlokas, at least in Simon Shin Mamches, that it might be a machlokas between the Machave and the Rama, as to whether Tfisa Mehani or not. And Lot says, Hidei Shemayim, we said there that's a machlokas between the Ktsosa and the Aruch HaShulchan with respect to Kepel and Dala Behe, whether it should be paid with respect to the payment of Chomish. That seems to be a machlokas between the Minchas Chinuch and the Rav Yeshua Kutna on the one hand, and the Avnei Nezer and everybody else on the other hand, as to whether one would have to pay Chomish Bisman is in an unusual case where a person stole money and then they took a shvua, which could be even outside of Bezdin, and then they did vidoy afterwards, then they confessed that they owed it, that they really stole the money, as to whether Latzei Sidei Shemai will be appropriate to pay Chomish Bisman is there. I'll just mention that one of the major problems with respect to jurisdiction over theft cases nowadays is that there are certain theft cases that straddle into the area of criminal law. And in general, Bezdin only has jurisdiction when it comes to civil law. Bezdin doesn't have jurisdiction to put people in jail or to prosecute criminal crimes. So when it comes to criminal cases, if a person has a criminal case, they'll generally, assuming that there will be no issa misiva, they have a genuine justification for going to the criminal authorities because they've been defrauded. Somebody ran away with all of their money. There was some major fraud, some major scandal that required a prosecution of the case in the criminal court, and the criminal court is going to oversee the collection of damages on behalf of the aggrieved parties. So that might be another reason why Bezdin jurisdiction could be circumscribed, because Bezdin doesn't have the criminal jurisdiction. So if a case is such where one would require the criminal jurisdiction in order to handle the civil aspects of the fraud case, then that type of case Bezdin might not be able to handle. So we've had that from time to time. Had a case once, I remember, where there was some fellow in the neighborhood who had defrauded all of the people he davened next to with shul, based on his Ben Gava L'Gava conversations. He had defrauded everyone in the shul millions of dollars because they all invested with him, and he ran away with the money. And then some of the party started to send him as manas, and he said that he doesn't... He would love to adjudicate the case of Bezdin, but unfortunately it's being adjudicated in court that he's going to end up going to jail for many years, and the court was handling all aspects of the case. So we felt we couldn't necessarily issue a seiver in such a case because it was a legitimate taina. So we told because the warren only tovim from the Jewish community, it was from all over the people who had invested money with him, and they all were running to court. They were running to criminal court. So we said that they certainly had a heter to pursue their cases in criminal court, but we couldn't assume a full-fledged jurisdiction. I had another case where I had established a relationship with a few of the Dayanim in the Brooklyn Bezdin world. I had sat with them on a few Zabalos, and I was very flattered because then they called me up at the Bezdin and said, we have a case that we feel is beyond our expertise, and we want to send to you a Bezdin. So I thought, okay, I learned my lesson. You have to be very careful when you have other Dayan, other Bati Din who do that. So we have this case that there's some shamish in a shul, and the people invested a lot of money, and then he was found dead. And now you just have to figure out how to distribute all the proceeds of whatever money he had. Apparently, the money wasn't being spent the way that everybody expected it to be spent, but there's a certain amount of money, and now everybody's fighting over getting their money back, and we have to just figure out how to allocate who gets what. So I said, okay, if you feel that this is something that you want us to handle, so we'll try to handle. Within the next week or two, I must have gotten about 150 applications from people all over the world that were looking to get their money back from this case. And suddenly this death of this individual became a very suspicious affair, and it wasn't entirely clear what the circumstances of the death were, and I felt I'm getting myself into a little bit, it was a Mexican connection. So I called it the Mexican Mafia Murder Mystery. that came to, that's how I characterized the case. And within a few days, I wisened up and I realized this was definitely beyond our jurisdictional mandate. And I called up the Dayanim in Brooklyn and I said, I'm sorry, I have to apologize, but please, if you could possibly call off all of the callers, because this is something I think that probably has to be handled in a different venue. I don't think that we're capable of dealing with this particular matter, and it took a little while, but eventually everyone got the message, and presumably they took their business elsewhere. But you have to be very careful, because while as long as it remains within the civil jurisdiction, then that's something which is perfectly appropriate for Besdin to handle within the parameters that we've described right now. But once you get into the criminal sphere, so then you have to be very careful in terms of defining your jurisdiction and making sure that you don't go above your head in terms of dealing with matters that you're not really going to ultimately have the jurisdiction to be able to dispose of properly. Okay, good. So we'll stop here and
session.
Okay.
Next time.
Okay.